Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Hotep. Welcome to Oracles Read by Omega 7. I'm so glad you can join me today. And this is another segment to get us organized and get us together. We've been talking about changing our communities, reviving our communities. And today we're going to lay out a plan. And I'm hoping you will join me in laying out the plan to revive the communities. As you know, we talked about taking back our communities with resource centers, parent-directed resource centers, I might add. We talked about that yesterday, and we laid down a foundation. And for those of you who were not able to join us yesterday, I hope you will go back and listen to that show on demand. That show is not only for parents, it could also be for stakeholders in the community, teachers, lawyers, social workers, and community advocates. However, I want you to know that we are drawing up those procedures as we speak so that other cities and states can get involved, not just for the Northern Indiana area, but we are going to lay out a plan that everyone can use in their own state so that we can revive our communities, bring them back to life, and put them where they should be in our communities. As you know, when they started to redline the communities and to stockpile our homes that were put into foreclosure, they dislocated a lot of people and the community centers. And a lot of people lost contact with going to community centers, and a lot of children were displaced in schools. But we can turn it around, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're here to do today, to talk about turning it around. And this will be the final day that we lay down some significant plans for what we're going to do, and then we're going to get into some poetry later on. Possibly next week, I'm going to be bringing two young men in to co-host the show to give the old lady a rest so that they can take over and bring some of the young heads out as we talk about poetry. We're also going to have a relationship specialist come in, and we're going to revisit reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century, and we're going to bring in an expert to talk about relationships of the heart. So we'll bring in our guest speakers and get back on the task of bringing in speakers so you can call in and make your requests known. Also, we're going to probably have our chat rooms open by next week. I've been really out of commission, had things packed in storage, and I had my mind and my head in storage too, so just bear with me as I come back to myself. And for those advocates out there who've been following me, I say keep on following the leader. And for those of you who love me in spite of all the inadequacies and you keep following me, I want to say I am so grateful and I give you my gratitude for sticking with me and following me. I am going to be trying to contact some of my followers in the near future, not just now, but I want to let them know that I'm still back on the drawing board and that I'm still doing things for the family. However, I got to get back into my education area of working with professional development. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. That's another career I had in training teachers and giving them those continuing education hours. And I'm thinking about getting back into that, but it'll be in the area of another aspect other than just teaching for professional development. I want to train some people to get a technical skill in the STEMs area, in the science area. So we're looking at some things that we can do to bring those people out who have a science background so that they can get their credentials together and get their jobs, their independent jobs together and go out there and get credential and license. So I've been working on those things. That's why you haven't seen me here in this room. I've been very busy trying to reestablish OMI and get OMI together. As most of you know, I am a retired teacher, but I still continue to work and take on projects. And that's just the nature inside of me of loving people and being concerned about their whereabouts. And also because being a missionary at heart, I have the people at heart. And I'm very much concerned about what happens to our communities. That is the reason why I'm back here in the state of Indiana, my hometown. Now, I want to say one thing. In laying down a foundation to make changes, it has to come from the heart. And you have to have a love for something and genuinely have something called passion for what you're about to do. I'm so happy that Farrakhan was able to successfully go to the Capitol and take his concerns there to meet with the various different constituents. I don't know the outcome, but I hope most of you were able to go out on a big screen TV and view that ceremony there in Washington, D.C. I was able to get out to watch the video or the live broadcast on the big screen TV. And there was much to say about everything that was done. He brought back some of the memories of Thomas Jefferson, and he talked about his time in office and a little bit about the fact that we cannot get freedom from the White House. And I agree with him on that. Freedom is something that you have to take. And you take your freedom by force. No one's going to give it to you. And for the longest, we've been the passive people of the world, waiting for someone to have pity on us and feel sorry for us and to hand over our freedom to us. I found out a long time ago that's not going to happen. We're going to have to take our freedom by force, and we're going to have to demonstrate that we're not the meek and mild people that everyone wanted us to be when we scratched when we didn't itch, we bucked when we didn't have to, and we entertained our slave masters to keep them happy. Now it's time for us to take a look at our own lives. Now, Farrakhan talked about Christmas and how we should keep our money in our pocket for Christmas, and maybe we should start planning now as to how we're going to lay this plan out to reinforce the fact, the or else factor. If we don't get justice and if we don't get it now, the or else is to black out Christmas and cancel it for today. I know I am in my household, and I'm going to be looking at Kwanzaa and making the items that I give out or possibly recreating something from an old gift, but I'm not going to be spending tons of money at anybody's shopping center or at anybody's mall. My dollar is going to bounce and it's going to holler in my own community or maybe even in my own pocketbook. So if you hear it squealing, it ain't nobody but me and these dollar bills in here holding on to each other, because we've got to learn that we have the billion-dollar purchasing power, and if we don't say that dollar is going to spend, somebody's going to holler that this community is not spending enough. then maybe they will hear what we have to say about our justice. And we're not just talking about just us. We're talking about all people of low socioeconomic, black and white, who are catching it in the yin-yang because they can't get any justice or they can't get any economic status because there is no more middle class. Now, what do you suppose happened to the middle class? Did they knock out the middle class? Now the middle class have very little to spend with, probably less than the lower socioeconomic people. I know because I used to be a middle class, and I can't live above my means. I have to live within my means. But going to the store on Christmas, buying things that I might have to take back after putting them on a credit card is not going to be happening for me this year. And we're going to have to talk to our families about the fact that we just can do without all those material things. We've got more than what we need anyway. By golly, our children got more than we ever had. I can remember wearing the same pair of shoes in the morning and come home and let somebody in the afternoon wear those same shoes because we knew that it wasn't in our material things. We weren't sized up by what we had on our back. And I want to tell you youngsters, quit adding and subtracting yourself based on what you can wear materially. You can only wear one pair of shoes at a time anyway. And parents, quit giving your children everything you think you never had. Give them some love and some wisdom. With all they're getting, let them get wisdom. Because wisdom cries out in the streets because nobody's trying to get wisdom. All we're trying to get is material things and beat the Joneses at what they do. Well, the Joneses out here tell ain't spending no more money. They done found out that they are bankrupt too, so they're putting their monies in those mattresses and they're stop spending too. So let's start following the Joneses and do what they do. Stop circulating your money in communities where you don't have a vested interest. Stop going in and out of these stores every week buying $400 and $500 bags of hair for your head. Press that hair. Put some shea butter on it. Slick it down. And stop putting a relaxer in it. Blow dry it. Come away from that madness of having to have a $150 hairdo every month. I know, because I was giving them my money and those African hairdos too. Quit spending $150 on that extension hair, keeping that hair down. You can lay it down with a scarf if you have to, but you sure don't need to spend your whole doggone paycheck on your head. I'm sure the men will still love you. They will still love you just the way you are. You're cute enough by yourself. You don't need to have all that extension hair on. When I used to wear that extra hair, I'm telling you, my head was so heavy, it had to lean and cock to the side. And then I had to sleep with a certain position so I wouldn't mess up my do. Now, women, I'm talking to you. We got to lay that hair down. And we got to give them their receipts back and say, we're not buying it no more. I'm sorry. If we can't grow it, if we can't mend it, weave it, just take a notion just to leave it. And it might grow out. Who knows? I'm wearing mine natural now, and I'm wearing it blow dry too. But I'm trying to keep all the extensions out. If I can't wear just a ponytail on there and spend my $10 for that bag, then I just cannot have that hairdo. I can't wear it because it costs me too much. You got more money on your head than you got on your back. Now, don't let me start having to create a comedian show here for you to let you know I've been through it. Came from a household of 11 girls. We were always into our hair, spending some money between all of us. We were spending $300 and $400 a month. But we learned our lesson. We let that stuff go natural and kept our money in our pocket, and we were still just as cute and dainty as ever before. And all the men think so because they still whistled at us with our natural hair. I know some of you are afraid of wearing your own hair, but look at it every now and then. It's yours. Don't go putting all that glue in your hair and yuck, and now you can't even comb your own hair? That's got to be miserable. We can't look like Jane and them. We got to be us and them. We got a community to straighten out. Let's take that same money and put it in our community, and let's lay out the plans and straighten out our community. Let's straighten it out. Can we straighten it out? We got to straighten it out. We got to figure out what it is that we need to get our communities back in order. Now, I feel like this. If I got to go ask somebody whether or not to straighten out my household, then that person has to give me a yes or no answer. And I don't think I can wait for them to tell me whether or not my house needs cleaning. That's a personal thing. And when Farrakhan went to Washington to ask that question, I know he felt somewhere in his heart, we already know the answer to these questions. We got to straighten it out. So let's straighten it out. And the way we straighten it out is we have meeting amongst ourselves. We set up webinars on the phone, and we get the phone tree set up where we all are talking about the problem, and we got the answer to the solution. I was always taught, you don't go talk about no problem unless you are solution-oriented and you have the answer to your problem already. We know the answer to our problem. We know the answer to our problem. We got to just pick up a piece of paper, pick up a bottle, and keep the place clean where we live. That's the first step. And then to love ourselves with all our heart and might, and then love our brothers and sisters, our Nubian brothers and sisters, as ourselves. Why is it that we can hate each other easily than we can love each other? That's because we don't have community no more. Don't nobody know how to go next door and borrow some sugar and make a pie and through reciprocity pass that pie on to your neighbor so they can get a little taste and they can see what you made with that sugar that they borrowed from you 2 days ago. We got to straighten this thing out. We got to lay down some real plans. I'm not talking about plans we keep changing every day, and next week we're going to change the plans before we can get started on the plans that we wrote last week. We're just changing as people are ever saying. We can't go forward for people arguing over who's going to do what. Set up your organization so everybody plays a part. Everybody plays a part. Everybody has something to do. Nobody is left out. So this one can't get mad at that one because this one got the higher responsibility. Switch it up every now and then. Reverse that stuff so everybody get a chance to be captain and be able to be the head honcho. You know what I'm talking about? Because, see, we will get bent out of shape if we get in the community and somebody mistaken us for one of the Indians instead of one of the chiefs. We got to get this thing together because I know about being in the hood. I spent my whole summer in the hood talking to brothers about what we can do to straighten it out. They want to straighten it out. They want to straighten it out, but they think the sisters got the better end of the stick. They think the sisters been given jobs, and they think the sisters got all of the money, and they think we got the better end of the stick. And every time I keep telling them, but look, we got a plan. As we get into the big house, we're going to bring y'all in too. And we're going to work this thing in duality. How many of you know about duality? You know, the Africans are always perfecting. They're always perfecting. They're always perfecting. But they do it in duality. Because that's what gods do. Now, I've already taught you that you really are the ruler. And Jesus didn't spend no time over in Galilee. He was over there in India, walking around playing the Buddha. So don't get confused and don't get it twisted that I'm worshiping some Chinese or Japanese person. That's the black Buddha, the Nichiren Daishonin or Nichiren Daishonin. He's the black Buddha. He was really the Jesus, okay? Now, for those of you who are still stuck in this Jesus-loving world, I want you to know Jesus wanted you to eventually see him in you. You remember when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, I and the Father are one, the I am concept. Now, when we get that I am concept together and know that we're God, there's nothing that we can't overcome. And we can't sub anything because a God never subs anything. We are over everything. And once we know this, we have already taken our community back because we don't ask anybody to do anything. We step up and just do it because that's what God's do. God don't have to get the approval and the sanction of anyone. Whatever needs to be done, a God starts to delegate and assign people to get it done. So I'm a God, right? So I'm getting ready to assign you some things to do. I'm taking my rightful place. I wish you would do the same for yourself. Take your rightful place. Divine, beloved, El Shaddai, El Nishi, El Shalom, you are the God, Divine One. Divinity was upon your head. He knew you in the womb before you came here. He knew that you were divine, and divinity was on your head. What changed things was someone told you that that heart of yours is no good and is desperately wicked, and who could know it? So you didn't know who you were. And you took that statement from someone and you ran with it and you thought yourself to be filthy as rags and you never lived up to your divinity. Now it's time to live up to your divinity. Claim a thing. Define a thing. Because power is nothing other than those who define a thing for themselves and make others accept it as their own. And that's what one of our late African Americans had defined for power. And I can't think of the gentleman's name now who came up with that cliche, but I'm so glad he did. Because we are going to exercise power in our own community. Where we have a problem is they had us twisted by making us think we belong in Africa. So when we grew up in the 60s, they kept saying, why don't you go back to Africa? And then we question ourselves, maybe we do belong in Africa. We don't belong here. But wherever our mothers and fathers slung their knapsack and picked their cotton, that is where we're from. We didn't leave anything in Africa, but we did leave something in the southern states. Our mothers and fathers' footprints are there from picking so much cotton, our land. And if we ever get the notion to go back home, then we should look south and go back home and claim some of that land that should have been ours. Every person must have land. And that's another thing we must claim for ourselves is some land. Even if we have to get all the southern states and claim that as our land and go and take up habitation on that land and define ourselves around that land. But we certainly cannot keep going on thinking that we can get rich off of an 8-to-5 job. We must have streams of income. So we must go in our community and create streams of income for ourselves. By starting with the Family Resource Center. That is one stream of income that we can bring into the community. And ladies, don't think because you have a disadvantaged child that you can't benefit from it. Yes, you can. The government now is saying that if you've had a child that's disabled and you've been an advocate for their child, you have a skill that they need in the government entity and that they are compelled to hire you as an advocate. So you don't have to pick up those checks, the ones that they give you when the child gets put on Ritalin and all those sorts of chemicals that will kill your child's appetite, that will make your child listless. Some of you mothers think you can gain money any kind of way. But good money always lasts longer. The money that you get that is not for you will go through your hands quicker than water will. So I want you to understand that the resource centers are going to build jobs for you, Mommy. The resource centers are going to give you a skill to become a self-advocate and a surrogate advocate for your child. So you don't have to keep that child on Ritalin in order to receive a check. That's all I'm saying. And what I want to do is lay a foundation here. We have child development centers, and we've always known how to take care of children. Then why not have your child development center in your home? Why not have your homeschool there and become a private institution and teach your children from birth until third grade? At least give them the foundation so you know that child is reading by the time he goes to school. And if you don't know how to teach anything else, teach the foundations of language. Teach the language skills to your child. Don't have your child going off to school and don't know who his mommy is and his daddy is and don't know his last name and don't even know his name. What's your name, baby? My name, Pookie. What's your mama call you, Pookie? No. You've got to teach the child his real name. And even come out of the slave name. Go and pick a name for him. And give him a name, a good African name. Now, mamas, we got to do better. Our first job is in the home. And I'm telling you this because I live by this myself. I didn't go to nobody's job until I figured out what I was supposed to do at home with my children and got them down pat. I know some of us have to have that income and got to go right back to work and put that baby in daycare, but find somebody to come into your home or a family child care. Don't go putting your child off in an institution so when that child comes home, he's institutionalized. He's looking at you real funny, watching you. Can't talk, won't say nothing, can't walk, can't stand up, scooting across the floor. His developmental skills are all thrown off because nobody's been spending no time with that baby. Well, Mama, I'm going to blame you because here's the plan. You get your own household in order before you go working in any man's factory or any man's plantation because that's where you will be going. You get your household in order that your baby is responding to English and he can communicate and tell you things. Don't go saying he's talking now and he is cooing and making baby sounds and you want everybody to believe that that baby's talking and you know good well that child ain't talking. Then don't send him off nowhere until he can communicate to you about his whereabouts on a daily basis. Now, when we lay down the foundation in our community, we talked about having resource centers all over the nation and reconnecting with every parent that has a child with a deficit, visiting those parents in the home. Do you know sometimes those parents don't ever get visitors? And how good it would be for them to get a gift for their child. Wouldn't that be great and wouldn't it be grand for someone to open the door smiling when you hand them a gift for their disabled child and you looked upon them every now and then and checked on them? That would be a great thing. Now, we're laying a foundation. Parents will be going into the community looking to see who and what parents have children that are in special education. Now, I want you to know those are labels, ladies and gentlemen. And every child does not have to wear that label. Some children have been misrepresented and inappropriately diagnosed, and they receive those labels unauthorized. Mothers will have to do a stronger job of getting those inappropriate labels off their children. So parents are going to have something to do. You no longer can just receive a check and sit at home and eat bonbons and watch all types of manners of movies on TV. You have to be employable in your community. And parents, I know that the status quo don't want me to tell you this. They want you to sit at home and watch Jerry Springer and eat bonbons until you blow up like a balloon. They want you to do that so they can continue to give you free checks and you thank him for paying your way when you could get up off of your assets and go to work. I'm saying this because in order to make and build good character in children, children must see that their parents are employable or they're doing some very, very necessary work at home. And the first place that women have a job is in their home. Keep your house clean. Start off by keeping your house presentable so that it is not a stockpile of rubbish and the child cannot live there because you have not kept the house. Basic things is all you need. Keep those things basically clean. Clutter can be a problem for a child in his mental state and even in your mental state. So we're laying a plan now. Now, we're going to keep our houses clean and we're going to keep food in our house so that the child knows that this is a storehouse where I can go eat and so can the man when he comes home. He can get a plate of food. Now, if we are going to have to go to somebody asking for our freedom, then we don't need it. We don't need it. You take your freedom. You start by presenting yourself as if you belong there and taking your proper positions. Now, Harriet Tubman told all of those slaves that they were going on or they were going to be a dead Negro. She carried the pistol to keep her crew in order because she knew if her crew didn't stay in order, she didn't have a program. Now, I'm here to get the crew together so we can get a program. We got to ship and shake ourselves up before we go asking somebody to give us something. Once we manage ourselves and discipline ourselves, there's no problem with the outside. Usually the problem starts on the inside, and that is where you start your work, with inside. And our problems that we deal with on the inside are our problems. We don't take our problems to the street. We clean house at home, and we don't air our dirty laundry outside of that. But it's very vital that you should know that our communities are slowly crumbling as I speak. There are young men and women contemplating suicide. Suicide never used to be a problem in our community. Black folks never had to go to see a psychiatrist about their problem. But now they got to go see a psychiatrist about their problems or see somebody. I say go see a spiritual man or woman. I say go see a spiritualist because they can clairvoyantly see what's ahead for you. And they can hear the problems that are around you. Go see somebody in your neighborhood, in your own neighborhood. Don't get caught up into this psychiatric drama that some of these agencies put you through. Make sure you don't have to put down on your disability paper that you're mentally off balance and have a problem with depression just so you can get a check. I want to speak to you about that today. There are so many of us that have declared mental illness in order to receive an SSI check. Have we fallen below a refugee that we have to claim mental illness in order to receive a check from the government? Does your head hurt sometimes? Do you hear noise? Do people speak to you and talk to you? Are you depressed? You tell them no, because a mind stayed on Christ is a rightly guided mind. So wherever it is that you are lacking finances, you can provide those finances through many other options, such as taking in laundry, washing other people's clothes, pressing other people's clothes, but you don't have to play the role of a mental illness candidate for a check. We've fallen so lower than a refugee, and we've got to get up, folks. We've got to get up, and we can't keep taking checks in exchange for the wrongdoing that people are doing. Our mental state is all we have left. Keep your mind together and keep it rightly guided and keep it on the mind of your higher self, and you will keep a clear head. And God will show you a way out of that bondage financially where you don't have to claim mental illness. I'm so sick and tired of our people taking on the state of mental illness, playing the role of Stephen Fletcher, and now they got their children going through getting a check too, playing the role of mental illness. We got to change that in our community. We got to come up, people. In that great getting up morning, we got to come up. We got to come up from this nonsense. We bought into so many things outside of ourselves. This is not like us, people. This is not like us. This is not what we had planned for ourselves. We knew about being black and proud and having integrity, and we live by integrity, and we will die by integrity. But we cannot continue to destroy our community and destroy our children with our own hands. And our households, we must build up from scratch again. We must lay the foundation for teaching our children discipline. We must lay the foundation and show the world that we can manage our children. And parents, we can't keep letting our children leave our households, going into institutions. We've got to each one teach one. If you cannot manage your children, you got to find somebody in your family that can take over your children until you can get on your feet and get rightly guided. We can't keep playing mentally ill. We have got to be sober in our mind. We have got to be sober in our mind so that we know what to do for our families. And we don't have to have a man there to create a family. Women, we've always had families with our children. And our children and I have been families. And we knew how to set a table and set down a meal for our families. But we must come out of this thing that you've got to have a man to be a family. And men, you don't always have to have a woman to be a family. Take care of your children. Do what you can for them. Pay the child support. Send the money. Go see your children. Set up visiting hours so you can have time with your children. We're laying a foundation so we can get things right in our community. We can't keep going to the state, going to Washington, D.C., asking them just for a little leverage. We've got to show them that we have integrity and we can pick our own selves up. And we got to show them that we know right from wrong, and our children will no longer live in our household, and they cannot carry the name if they cannot live up to the standards that we require of them. We've got to start disclaiming these old habits that they've put upon us, and we've got to believe that we can make it. We can overcome these things. We can get up one good morning, and we can declare that our communities will be in one piece again, and that we will not take on the steps of a failing fool who has created his own demise. We've got to help ourselves, and those that help themselves will get over the mountain. Now, we've had a lot of examples before us. I gave you the example of the Buddha, and I told you that you are God, and I told you that let the Buddhahood rise up out of you, that you might become Buddha, and that you might live the life of Buddha, where he eliminated suffering of all people he came in contact with. And that's all we're here for, is to live a life through God and to eliminate suffering from all mankind, Jews, Gentiles, and Turkish, Hmongs, Hispanics, African Americans, to eliminate suffering from all people, white, Caucasian. We don't want to see suffering in anyone. And the suffering, we must have an attack on suffering. And we must eliminate suffering wherever we see suffering. Suffering in one place is suffering for all. And we must eliminate the suffering that we may let the Buddha rise up in us. And that lotus blossom will blossom throughout the communities. And once again, we will get our communities back. And when we see fit to start the change within us that we want to see in our communities, then the change has already begun. Let the Buddha start growing up in you and start the change within your community. We can no longer just sit back and go to these churches and do the prayer and say amen when all are not in agreement. We must have the effect of changing the community when we're all in agreement with the change must come. Change must come and what's coming, you and I know a change is going to come. I know it because we have to change our community, and we have to get our mothers and parents involved, and we have to get the estate together, and we have to set up our trust in each other again. And we must believe in one another again that we can do this with the help of each other. Let each man's burden be your own, and that every man that stands before you comes and has accountability and has dignity, and you give them their self-righteousness, and you show them that all men are inalienably good. When we depend on one another and we rely on each other for help, we can support our own. We do not have to lower ourselves to a lower standard, below the level of a prudent human being. Let us stand together in our communities and let us be one, through one unity and one vision and one self-respect, that we all are inalienable human beings and we must give each other that respect. And through respect, we can begin to build better communities. We can begin to recreate our communities through resource centers, bringing those special children who are blind and cannot see, who cannot hear, but yet there's still some who are not physically blind and who are not physically deaf but cannot hear. But for those of you who can hear the sound of my voice, I ask you to take heed today. Take heed today because our deliverance is near. Thank you so very much for listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister. I thank you that I have been able to bring you the listening conversation that has been in my heart for my community for so long. And I pray and trust that they will all come together and that we will reunite our communities and we will lift our communities up and hold our heads again up in integrity. I thank you for this opportunity to chat with you, to be able to give you the version of what we have left to do. Thank you so very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for going with me all the way. Thank you so much for listening to the instructions that we have given you, for changing our communities and making our communities whole again. Thank you for coming and sharing and breaking bread with us. And may you go back and make the changes that are necessary in your hood, so that you can begin to see community blossom up like a lotus blossom in your neighborhood. And remember to keep the beautiful growing within you. And wherever you see suffering, eliminate suffering and bring about peace throughout our whole land. Let there be peace throughout our whole land. Thank you so very much. I'm glad that we're able to meet today. And I will be checking back with you in another week or so. We'll be bringing on our youth who will be doing the poetry slam. And they will be hosting the show, co-hosting the show with me or possibly even alone. And we'll be bringing in our expert relationship counselor talking about the heart, issues of the heart, and we'll be also bringing you things that we can do for our relationships to better them. And I know there's so many of you who followed us on Reordering the Marriage Style. We're very faithful, but we are going to tie these things together and bring you more speakers, and you will be able to call in with your questions and answers and also go to our chat room. So I say, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and oh.